Okay, we are learning Klal Samaches. We're up to Ois Hey, I believe. Okay, Samaches Hey. We're learning that it's Osir to do things that may be Lidei Sakana. I should mention, there's a Sefer we have here in Shul, a two-volume Sefer, Shmiras HaGuf HaNefesh. It's an invaluable Sefer because there are a lot of things that people say you shouldn't do, and it's hard to know if there's a source for it or not. So he really collects all the, he generally collects only from good sources, and, somebody asked me, two boys in yeshiva came over to me today about, if you're not allowed to, if it's a sakana to walk barefoot at home. Walk barefoot. So I always remember when my,
That is
to walk in your socks. If you're walking like this, we went to socks with the socks.
Without the socks.
With or without, no difference. My grandfather passed away. I think I was in fourth grade. I don't remember, maybe third grade. So for that week, my mother said, "Shiva Manhattan." I stayed by an uncle. So I was, especially a fourth grader, you kick off your shoes, you walk around down in socks. So my uncle came over to me very angrily, and he says to me, "Borvis." I didn't know what he was talking about. I never heard the word Borvis in my life. It sounds like a food, doesn't it? It sounds like Borikis or something. So I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, again, Borvis. Like, I thought he was going to hit me. I didn't know what. So it seems there's this mitzvah called Aveira called Borvis. I don't know. So to go, so Aveilam, go barefoot. You go barefoot. So the boys asked me today if you're allowed to go barefoot. So I told him, it was shortly after I got married, my wife and I had this disagreement about making brachas with your shoes off. You your shoes off, you make a shagel. He said, you have to put your shoes, you make a brach. I said, I never heard about it. So I asked Rav Palm, this is exactly the conversation. I asked Rav Palm, is it okay to make brachas at home when you're just wearing your socks? So Rav Palm said, why do you have to be wearing your socks? In other words, he said to me, now for davening, you have to dress in a bakavadik way, but a bracha you do around the house. So that doesn't mean it's a kavod. If somebody does it because he feels the kavod, it's appropriate. But it's a halacha and that. Anyway, so this sefer brings these things. I didn't ask him about walking around barefoot. I asked him about making brachas. I didn't have a havamina that he would have something against walking around barefoot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's a source of it. When I was told when I was a little boy, you're not allowed to go to North Africa.
Yeah.
If you have parents, it's not covered.
Oh, I mean, if you're not parents, it's mutter.
If you're not parents, then
Right. And I told this fellow, he said his father's makbid, so I told him, for you, it's a mitzvah deraisa, keep it on.
It's an Indian keep it on the aim that
you
have a parent, and
sewing a button on somebody. No,
it's a big sew a button, because you might stick, stick yourself.
Like
that's why, really?
What's that again?
Sewing a button on something.
On your clothing while you're wearing it. Why this sew on button?
Does this involve the safer
seeing anything about the Yeah. Exactly what we learned. No, he says Mr. Ass. That's the same thing. Alright, let's move on before we get too excited. About what?
About sewing a button.
Yeah, I don't know this in my car. You know, it's interesting though, it is brought in Hilchos Derech Eretz Besuda that you don't hand bread. When you give out bread, you don't hand it to people because it's done by an oval, by a suda.
Yeah.
So that is brought.
That's the way also, you're not allowed to do a twisted.
You shouldn't sir drink to pour drinks. Not to pour drinks backwards. That doesn't say in Arachayim. Maybe it says in Yerodeya. I'm not sure. Yeah. But our Avelim don't do it. If you ever saw an oval, do it twisted the way he pours drinks. See that stuff. Okay, let's see. I say. That's why, really. What? Really, but in the Beis Hamikdash they walk barefoot. The Sneh they walk barefoot. In a holy place you walk barefoot.
So you forget your
whole
deck, your own house.
So it's better. All right, Marty, don't get overboard. It's a mitzvah to go big. I say. Everybody in the Beis Hamikdash was big. I say, Asa lechol, not supposed to eat too. No, not quite. Asa lechol macholim umashkim shenavshe shal adam kotzo bahem. It's an interesting thing that it's also al pidin, it's called batashaktsu, to eat, to do things that are disgusting. Things shenavshe shal adam kotzo bahem, kugai mashkim va'eklin shenarabem keitzaya v'lechasrucha kiyaitzabai. A food in which disgusting things have been contact with, v'chein lecha v'lishtais, b'keilim atzayim, or to use keilim that are used to these things, agabi keilim uluchlochim, or even dirty keilim, abi adai mezuamois, or to eat with dirty hands, shekol eilu b'chlal al tishak tzuas nafshe sechem. V'afila yoymer adam, shein nafshe kotza. This person says, to me, it's not something that bothers me, but l'daitai. His opinion doesn't count. Someone who violates this is chayv malchus. Some things that most people find disgusting, but some people don't. Broccoli, good example. I think such a thing. There are some people who actually like it. But if you're kotzbay, even somebody else is not, it's also, I don't know, I always had a sensitivity to certain foods that I...
You drink from a bottle of soda, somebody drinks soda, I'm trying to stay up.
It says if you drink from a glass, you shouldn't offer it to another person. If a person wants to take it, he can. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, yeah, you can drink from a bottle, why not?
So,
in
some people, it's not classic.
There's no issa to not be classy. Classy is not a requirement. Yeah, I wouldn't. In public, people don't drink from bottles. What? In public, certainly, in front of other people, certainly. But what? Yeah, you're allowed to drink from a bottle. It does say in Shulchan Aruch that if you drink from a cup, you shouldn't offer it to someone else. Because he may be ashamed to say, it's disgusting to me, drink it, and it'll be disgusting to him. But, you know.
When I don't want to eat something, like broccoli, my wife says, would you ever try it?
You shouldn't pressure somebody to eat something disgusting. That's an important thing. That's right. You shouldn't press somebody to have things that are disgusting to them. That's halach. It's not a derech eretz. It's halach. Baltashaktsu. Okay. Avav behema oifa misukenes behema, or a bird, a living bird, animal that's in sakana, that's very sick. Afa pishin di teres b'shchita, even though if you shechted it, you're allowed to eat it. Amidagdikim machmir alatzma shaloi loichla. The medagdikim are careful not to eat it. V'chein kol dove shahira b'chacham. Mitzara svara. Anything, if it's a mafurisha halacha, that's not called hara by chacham. But something that needs a shikla das, v'loinim sadim befeirish lahatir, kol bal nefesh yachmer al atzma. It's interesting that chacham asadim brings this down. Gemara learns it out from Yecheskel, I believe, that Yecheskel didn't eat from food shahara by chacham. Something that you had to go to the Rav Urishayla. Again, if it's an open and shut thing, you just don't know it, that's something else. But if it requires a shikol hadas, an estimation, it looks like there's shishim, it could be mekel. So there's an inyan to not to eat. The truth is, the Gemara says it about balei nefesh, it's balei madrega that don't eat these things. Right. So you send someone down to shechter real quickly. Yeah, definitely. You're allowed to eat. It's something that's, it says for Bali Nefesh. Like I said, it's interesting that the Chochmas Adam brings it down. Chochmas Adam is a kitzah safer for everybody. What about a treifa, you're not allowed to eat minat Torah. See, it's interesting. A treifa, an animal that's gonna die may not be a treifa. An animal that's gonna die because of fever or heart attack may not be a treifa. Treifa, certain injuries, specific injuries which render it a treifa. They are associated with the animal not being able to live.
Even if there's a shav on something and he passes me as kosher, dafka,
Yeah, well, that we spoke about. If someone's batal b'shishim or in a binyayma, we see there it's a halacha that's clear in Shulchan Aruch. So it says dafka. The Indian there was dafka to eat nitzaitzit shenitaru, something treif that became batal b'shishim, that there is an Indian to eat it. He only me selling his toli in svara that not to do. A Baal Nefesh shouldn't. But a lot of times the Rav has to think about it because he doesn't remember. He has to find the halacha. But it's true if you start to estimate if there's shishim.
What about the famous story about the Vilna Gaon?
Famous story. The famous story. Which famous story?
Where they asked the Rav, the Vilna Gaon was not the Rav of Islam, of course.
Chafetz Chaim, that was. What? They gave him food to eat. And he didn't want to eat it.
About a chicken. So they couldn't find the rub. So they ran to the little one. They said again, and he passed me, they shouldn't eat it. And at the end, they found the rub. And the rub says,
could eat it.
And they said, but the little gun said no. So I told the little gun, you have to eat it.
The Vilna Gaon has to eat it.
You have to eat it because I passed him, and I forgot.
And he ate?
And he was about to eat the Vilna Gaon, and the shit, not the shit, something fell into it that he couldn't eat it.
The what? The traffic killer?
It disappeared. Okay. It was a chandelier, or it was a
trick. He said it was wax from the chandelier.
It was wax.
But he was prepared to eat it? Is that what the story is?
I say with the chandelier.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever the case is, you see,
you can't
eat it.
You can't pass it for any story, and I don't know what the shadow was in that story. It could be that the Rav said that Halacha is like the Rosh, and the Gra held the pass like the Rambam, and if the Rav passed like the Rosh, he was going to do like the Rosh. This case is talking about Shekel HaDaas, something that's telling Shekel HaDaas, and that's a different story.
For sure, there was a Shaila.
Yeah, Shaila. There are many different types of Shailas in Halacha. Very few are telling Shekel HaDaas. The final Halacha in this very exciting Simen, Asa Liktzais Ilon Meichel, Hoysa Peris. Now this Halacha is a Halacha that the Poskim and Klal Yisrael have taken way beyond the Gemara. If you learn the Sugya and the Gemara, you come out with one Maskana. And if you learn the Halacha, the way he brings it, all the Poskim are much more Machmer. And that's about cutting a fruit tree. Also, Liktzais Ilan Meichel or Isa Peris. Now, it's a very important Lashon. You're not allowed to cut an Ilan Meichel, which produces fruit. Sometimes people call me with a shayla about a fruit tree. And I ask them, is the fruit edible? And sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. There are times it's not edible. And if it's not edible, Rav Pami said, tell people you can cut it down. Also says, Ilan Ha'isa Peris. Now, I don't know what to do. I've had a number of people, it grows berries. They don't know what type of berries. Is it edible? They don't know, but the Oriental women come and they collect them. They eat them. So if Oriental eat them, would they eat them? Is that, that's edible? Even the Americans wouldn't eat it. I don't know. If it's weakening other trees, therefore you have to remove it. Now I have to explain this. It says if you need the place, you're allowed to cut it. This comes from the Gemara. The Gemara says that if a chatzar is worth more without a tree than with a tree, that you're allowed to cut down the tree. That's what it says. Now, however, let me finish. However, the number of Achrayim, I'm remembering at the moment the Har Tzvi, he says to cut down a tree because you want to build a house there is not what the Gemara is talking about. He says it has to be that at the time you cut it, it's immediately worth more. In other words, you have a chutz that's worth $100,000, you cut out the tree, it's a nice chutz, it's worth more. Well, this tree is machish the other tree. When you cut it, the result is there already. If you're cutting it because afterwards you want to do things, you want to develop the land, you want to whatever it is, so that's not a heter.
Becomes more expensive for any.
It has to be what he says has to be practical. The Har Tzvi is talking about cutting a tree because you want to build a sukkah. You want to cut branches of a tree. Mishloh Melech is masupik if this issue applies to branches or just a whole tree. So the Mishloh Melech is the one that's masupik, I believe. So he's machmer. That's he's machmer on branches. So he says, it's going to fix the sukkah. So he says, if I recall correctly, first build the sukkah, and then cut the branch. You cut the branch because you want to build the sukkah, he's not mad here. But if you're going to cut the branch when the sukkah's up, you're going to have to really put the schach over afterwards. But when you build the sukkah, and so it's immediate, he's mad here at Siruf, it's a suffix of its branches, it's worth more, and even then you do it through a guy.
They buy it from a guy, they
start cutting the guy. All the guy you know, they come, the guyish landscapers, they say, I'll give you $1, I'll cut it down.
No, 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 I don't mean that. Yeah. You buy it from a guy. Say, I'm
going to
buy
it only.
$500,000 is your one.
Yeah, but it has to be without the tree.
And I don't want anything in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's permitted, no?
If it's the guy's thing, you can do it. The guy owns it. You're telling him, you deliver it to me clean.
You deliver the house clean.
Simcha Friedman digs, tacks a trailer to it. He pulls the tree, obviously, it depends how big it is. He pulls it to the edge of the property. Yeah, she pulls it in the ground to the edge of the property. Yeah, so he tells me. He digs a ditch. I assume he doesn't kill the ruse. He kills the ruse, he's killing the tree. But no, he pulls it with the whole thing. He's a builder, yeah. So he says.
I think it was the Times a number of years ago about somebody in Borough Park who had a fruit tree in his
living room. You remember the Landau Shul, the temporary Landau Shul?
Landau Shul, okay. This is where somebody will live.
But it doesn't the rain come in when you have a tree in the living room?
I don't know. But I think what the Rebbe is saying is that now we can cut it down. After he built
according to them, now you can cut it down. It's funny, the Paiskim are very much, the Netziv, real Litvisha, Netziv. Netziv has a tshuva, he says, don't cut down fruit trees, period.
So don't cut down fruit trees.
Don't cut down any fruit trees, period. Don't stop playing with it. It's interesting. It's the same thing, you know. I had a call last night about mezuzahs, about removing mezuzahs when someone else is going to move in. So I tell people, you're not supposed to. They're supposed to pay you. And he says, you know, the person's coming in, not going to pay me for it. He's not really from. All I do is I have to tell them the Gemara. Gemara says someone removed the mezuzahs and he buried his wife and his children. That's Lashon Gemara. So that's why we don't do it. And when the Gemara says such an expression, you know, it's a storybook. It's one thing. It's a Gemara. So it's a sakana. So I tell people, what you do is, let him remove it. He'll give it to you. He wants to remove it. Let him remove it and give it to you. But you don't remove it. So it was born from that, we have a mezuzah gemach in the shul. I have at home about 50 mezuzahs. People come to me, they're moving. They can't take off the mezuzahs. The other person's moving in. What do you do in between? So we lend the mezuzahs. That's all. I originally bought about a handful of mezuzahs, and then a couple of people who borrowed bought me more. So if anybody needs a mezuzah gemach.